Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 11th.
Good morning.
You ready?
Yes, good morning.
219th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming. Oh, it kind of snuck up on us this morning.
Yes, it did.
Oh, you got a quote over there.
I saw you have a new book, so I went through it. It's from Mahatma Gandhi, and it's The Best Politics is Right Action.
Oh, that's like simple. Ah, thank y'all.
Yes.
I'll sign off on that one so we, heaven forbid, we repeat.
Never.
So what's keeping you guys busy?
Oh, a little bit of everything.
Well, I know last time you were excited because you were getting your bad guys' big cases list down.
Yes, we were, and we still are. We're working hard at doing that. The numbers are still going down, which is good. We're really trying to get through a lot of the old cases, get the caseload much more manageable, and we've been doing that.
How long does it take? Yeah, don't say depends. I'm looking for an amateur. How long does it take for a murder or homicide to get dropped into your system? I mean, like today, you know, we were hearing the guy in Eureka, somebody shot the guy that was in the back seat. Okay, and then there was the ding-dong with the rebar this morning that the news story was talking about. You know, we hear about these kinds of aggressive acts. How long does it take before they start to hit the department?
Right. So with some cases, it can take, well, unfortunately, it can take years to solve them. I mean, sometimes it really is a whodunit, and they're working all the leads to try to determine. So that can take. I mean, we do have some open cases that are a couple years old. But then we have the cases where someone's at the scene. It comes to us relatively quickly, and then it takes months for it to proceed, sometimes even to preliminary hearing, because we are still gathering evidence. There's still, you know, DNA work being done or toxicology work being done or ballistics. So
you kind of see the tidal wave coming.
Yes.
It's not just a surprise and you show up on Monday and all of a sudden there's three more cases.
No. Generally, I get briefed pretty quickly on the homicides as well as the violent serious cases. A lot of times I'm reviewing search warrants. Sometimes I'm called at home because they say we have this, this, and this. We talk about what warrants we need to proceed with, those sorts of issues. So I generally see things very quickly, and then I know when it's coming.
That's how you're able to remember what case is what case you've been playing with it for a while.
Yes.
So it becomes a team effort then?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That quickly.
Right. And we offer our services as far as, you know, we're always available to review legal issues, warrants, but then also DA investigators will assist agencies. Sometimes it's just having a couple extra people working the case, working the neighborhood for, you know, to see if there's witnesses, those sorts of things.
So is that why you have investigators rather than the law enforcement agency itself having the investigative crew?
No, that's not why. We're there to assist. We have investigators to help us once the case is already in our system, because a lot of times we are working hard to go out and find witnesses who are not responding to our subpoenas, those sorts of issues.
So you kind of are following up and supporting.
Yes.
The initial crew.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 819. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 824. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. As you process through various cases, Maggie, or the department does, I guess is probably more accurate, how do you know if you're doing a good job not in the prosecution side, because that's kind of a black and white. You have your sweet zone. You know, you should be, let's say, convicting 78% to 83% of all charged. Okay, that's the sweet spot. But the community knowledge of what's going on in the DA's office, does that, should that matter?
Well, I think it's important to the community as far as, you know, if your neighborhood's had a series of burglaries, you'd like to know what happened. You know, did someone get caught, or, you know, maybe the press did do a statement about when someone was arrested, but then you want to know what happened to that individual. And I think that's the hardest part, is to sort of stay on top of that, because frequently we, you know, we handle anywhere from 100 or more cases per day in courtrooms. And what of those should we be saying, this is the one that we should be doing a press release on? This is the one.
100 a day?
Oh, yeah. Because between the misdemeanor courts and the felony court, we have that many on calendar. And it's not, they're not ending necessarily that day, but some percentage are. And it's interesting because every now and then, we obviously reach out to victims, try to involve them in the process, try to let them know, hey, this case ended, you're going to get a letter asking about how much are you owed in restitution. We try to do that, but then the bigger question is, what cases should we take the time to make sure we get a press release out so that the community knows this is the outcome? I try to do it with trials, and I try to do it with cases that I know are serious or violent, that the, you know, initially received some media coverage, that the public knows, oh, okay, this is how this case ended. But it's also just more in general. I got a question from one of the news sources the other day about a case that involved elder abuse. And I thought, you know, that's an important case. People should know what happened with that. And I hadn't done a press release. And I thought, that's one that would have dropped off, but for the fact that someone called me and said, hey, whatever happened on this one?
Would it suffice? I would think if people are really focused on one particular one, they're either in the courtroom or they have ways of getting that information, of doing like a weekly update. Here's our summary. These cases were adjudicated in this fashion, and you have whatever the, you know, paragraph, maybe two paragraphs on each of those, and the others are more statistical. X number were presented for prosecution, X number were taken care of, X number of misdemeanors, and just kind of do something like that. So, you know, it's not the excruciating granular detail that some want on specific cases, but it becomes then a routine, and then it's like on the website or, you know, with your press releases, and you start to develop that history, that track record, and the community then also is aware that they may not hear a specific press release on a specific case, but they see what's going on, and there's a little blip about it. There's a status report, maybe.
And that's, you know, that's a good idea. I sort of have looked at a number of other DA's offices' websites to try to figure out how do other people do this. It's interesting because we don't have anybody dedicated. I mean, basically, I asked the attorneys in the office and the investigators, hey, can you come in and let me know sort of if you have any cases of interest, if you have any cases that you know, community members or whoever it is have inquired about, so that we can kind of keep people informed on those. But that's really hit and miss. And it's that on top of what you're trying to do each day. So when you get out of court at 5:30 at night and you've got to go back to the office and call your victims and say, hey, this is what happened, so sort of the last thing you remember to do is maybe I should write this up, you know, to do a press release. So it really is something I'd like to get better at. I just have to come up with a process for how I could really cover more.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to be taking, if you have a fixed resource of time,
right,
staff time,
right,
is that the best use?
Right.
Some may argue it is. Some may suggest that perhaps there are other more pressing matters, but I would think the worst thing is being perceived as hiding behind the door.
Right.
Not
right.
Being accessible. Everything, you know, unless you're sitting in the courtroom yourself, you really have very little chance of getting that information out. So
right.
The balance, I would think, is halfway tricky.
It is.
Are there DAs? There must be, that have PR?
Oh, yeah.
Or the equivalent of a PR staff person or a halftime or
quarter
time. How much time would it take? Would it be a halftime, a quarter time, 2 hours a week? What do you think it would take to do what you would want to have done? Not what the media wants, not what the community necessarily wants, but what Maggie wants.
Maybe quarter time. It's
a couple hours a day.
Yeah. It's, again, though, it's getting that information from people who are so busy. You know, so the press person really would have to be someone who's saying every day, did you have any cases today? Did you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah, when Maggie comes back from the classroom, or from the courtroom, sorry.
Right.
Well, I guess it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
What happened, da-da-da-da-da, and,
right.
and get a quick synopsis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Maggie, the concept of the public's right to know versus the public's right to a speedy and fair trial. That is a balancing act, I'm sure, that is almost a genetic thing for you now.
Yes.
Instead of having to even reflect upon it at all.
That's right.
How long does it take to get to that point where you now developed your own sense, you know if it is or if it's not, and you make those calls almost instinctively?
I think it's pretty basic as a prosecutor. We have pretty strong ethical guidelines as far as the amount of information we can provide to the public while something is pending, versus at the end of the case we can say, you know, this is what happened. It's interesting because when you watch sort of police officers' briefings, they can provide a lot more information than we can. You know, I'm not to comment on the results of the DNA test. I'm not to, you know, do a press release on those sorts of things because of the fact that if it's pending criminal case, you're tampering with the process. The flip side is there's a lot of information that is public knowledge. So, for example, once we file a case, arraignments, the next court dates, those sorts of issues, they're in a public courtroom. The public's invited to attend. You can, you know, at any time call the office and say, hey, you know, my neighbor's house got burglarized, whatever happened on that. If you know the name of the person, obviously, we can look it up and say, oh, that got charged. You know, he's got a trial date. Here's the information. So there's a lot of public information that's readily available. I'm not sure necessarily that everybody knows, you know, how to get that information, but it is available versus what we do as far as press releases.
If somebody's willing to work for it, they can find a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's really as simple as calling. And it's good. You know, we've had people who call in who say, nothing ever happened on this. And we say, well, actually, we did. We charged it, and it's going through the process. Our next date is, you know, next Tuesday at 1:30. And then people go, oh, okay.
How do you time manage?
Not very well.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking you got 1,000 passionate warriors about something out in the community. My case, my neighbor's case, my family member's case. I come from a particular perspective and I'm monitoring this case or what. How do you deal with the time that it takes to get that information out and also still get your job done.
So luckily, there is an outstanding clerical staff at the DA's office. And they are. They're the backbone of the office. They work harder than any group of people I know. And you can ask anybody in the DA's office and they'll tell you this. And so they do a lot of that. They handle a lot of the public at the front window. They handle the calls. They handle the emails we get. I only see a very, very small percentage of it. And those are people with sometimes more legal questions or concerns, you know, I see that this hasn't been filed. Can somebody explain why? And then it gets to me and I say, oh, you know, we're still asking for additional follow-up. We need X, Y, and Z, those sorts of things. But otherwise, the bulk of the public requesting information and needing assistance to know what the next step is handled by the fabulous clerical people that we have there.
Do you get a lot of requests, the Freedom of Information Act related?
Yes.
Stuff?
Yes.
Of those, what percent are qualified versus I need to know everything about anything, and you don't know if that's even permissible, let alone something that's accessible?
So we don't, and we really shouldn't ever try to look at the why somebody's making their request. Our job is to provide the information. What's more
But if it qualifies under that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I would say everything I've seen so far qualifies. There's just a lot of information we don't have the ability to present. I mean, you do get these sort of requests for, you know, every case submitted that's, you know, and they create sort of, this happens sometimes with people who are maybe writing a story or something, so they kind of want to drill down on information. We just don't have access to that. And so then, you know, sometimes their follow-up will be much more specific, and then I can say, okay, that I can actually provide you a list, you know. So
So you don't really respond well to a really wide dragnet for information rather than a specific this case, this situation, something much more narrow and focused.
Right. It's really about sort of how information is collected and kept. And I think sometimes people assume that we have the ability to provide information, you know, statistical information that has really never been something that we were set up to do in the first place. And then clearly our computer system fails on a lot of levels. But one of them is this sort of, hey, can you tell me every one of these, you know, for 10 years? Well, the answer is, you know, we just simply can't. I mean, in the olden days, we had index cards, and that's something that I think people don't really, you know, you would never get a request for that. And I think now because people think, oh, this would be something you could click on a computer, the answer is no, unfortunately, we can't.
Well, and even if you have the biggest, baddest Excel spreadsheet possible,
right,
doesn't mean you're going to have that category that they want.
Right.
So you can search on it in a nanosecond.
Right.
How much time do you have to set aside for your staff, clerical, to do the research, to come up with these requests, or do you try to manage the request a little bit and say, well, you know, that's going to take a ton of time. Is there one specific area within that you're looking for? And try to get them to kind of self-narrow to make it easier for you to comply in a timely fashion?
You know, that's a good question. I let them know how long it's going to take, and sometimes they still want the information, and then we file the request for additional time because some requests are that way, that you just simply can't do it in 10 days. And then we present them the information they want, sometimes over a period of, you know, a month.
So you can satisfy it in modules or in piecemeal?
Yes. But like I say, some information we just could never, ever gather. It's just too, the information isn't something that we keep, and it's impossible to respond to. Versus, you know, sometimes people say, I want all the emails related to some specific case or something like that. And if it's information we can provide, then we go ahead and do that search, and that sometimes takes quite a bit of time.
For people's references, any email to the DA's office, if it's not an ongoing active case, is potential.
Oh, yes.
To be seen by the public.
Yes.
So maybe we mind your P's and Q's.
Right. We don't have an attorney-client privilege, you know, like you would think of with attorneys. So exactly, when the public says, hey, I saw this case in the paper and I want you to know X, Y, and Z, potentially that could be, I mean, we discover it to the defense if we have an ongoing case, but certainly if we receive a public records request, we discover that information.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Maggie Fleming. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. If you had a pile of pixie dust.
Ooh.
Yeah. We last that you
Does
are.
Does the word Tahiti say?
Yeah. And you could deal with one communication-related issue from the DA to the community. What would you use it for?
I'd use it to improve communication with victims of crime, businesses, because it's just so important. And no matter how hard we try, people feel out of the loop. And the classic example is bail OR hearings. This is, you know, family members, you know, and so much of our crime I think of is related to family members and children and elders, and they walk around all day terrified that person's going to get out. And if we don't call them the moment court is over to say, hey, the judge, you know, denied the release or whatever, they're in panic mode. And so much of that is just man hours. You know, it's a tough time slot to try to fill. And we work hard at doing it, but I know we're not perfect.
Is it a viable concern for retribution? Does that happen on a regular enough basis, or is that just a script we have rumbling in our head?
Oh, it's just, and I'm not sure the question, Brian.
That's okay. We ran out of time.
Okay.
We've been Talking Shop with Maggie Fleming. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Nice job. See you tomorrow.